you guys dearly. Welcome to New Life Church. This will be my first podcast I put on the podcast. The title of today's message is Willing to Suffer. We don't talk about the songs that you're going to sing, but it's amazing how we sang a lot about suffering this morning. How many of you are willing to suffer for Christ?
Amen.
Are you really?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. Above all things, we ask that you be glorified in this place. Lord, let your anointing fill this place. Lord, it's your word. It's anointed. Father God, let me rightly divide your word of truth. Let me speak with boldness, with clarity, rightly dividing your word. That lives would be changed and transformed by the truth of your word and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for the open door. And now, Lord, we look to you for guidance, instruction, direction. Lord God, that we would believe here and be a witness to those around us, that we would be light and salt. Father God, that this place be filled with changed lives, with souls seeking to live and to fulfill your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Again, the Lord gave me this word about 2 weeks ago. I was going to teach it last week, and that didn't happen. And He really impressed upon me to preach it this morning. I want to start off by saying that I've never been interested in being known as a great church. Amen. It doesn't matter. I mean, when we took our transition to the other church, you know, I gave up the name New Life. It didn't matter. I'm not interested in making a name for myself. That's never bothered me. It's never been an interest I have. The one interest I do have is to introduce people to a great God. That's my life. That's what has kept me. That is what's kept me. I told Celestiano Lewis the other day, you may have seen me fall and you may have seen me struggle. You may have seen me do many things, but one thing you'll never see me do, and that is to lose my enthusiasm and my zeal for God, because constantly, daily, I am reminded of how good He is to us.
Amen.
Amen. How good He is. How much of a blessing He has bestowed upon us. I'm reminded of when they said she would not make it through the night, how she's still here some 18 years later, alive and well. You know what I'm saying? When many doctors came in and said she was not going to make it. And I'm constantly reminded of that. I'm reminded of the calling of my life when angels came up beside me. These are things that I took for granted for a moment. And I lost focus, and I'm not ashamed to say that. But man, it's time.
Amen.
I want to fulfill what God has called me to. I'm hitting 50 this year. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to win souls for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to do what God has called me to do. In my life as a Christian, I learned early on that it's not about me. It's not about my needs or my desires. It's about fulfilling His will and His cause.
Amen.
You need to learn that. Your dreams, your desires, your wants, you hang those up.
Amen.
Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, let him give up his selfish ways. Take up his cross. The cross represents a symbolic of suffering. But this day and age, no one wants to suffer. We want the easy road. We want the easy way out. I want to have it my way. It's not about your way. It's not about my way. It's about His way. And I understood that early on, that to fulfill the will of God, it would entail suffering. You're going to suffer in the will of God. Not everybody's going to like you. I've lost more friends as a Christian. And this is sad. I have lost more friends as a Christian than when I was in the world.
Amen.
I could call out my old drug and addict buddies right now, and they would lend me a hand. That's the truth.
Amen.
And there's some Christians I can't even call upon because of pride and bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's sad. It's a sad thing. And then we wonder why the world doesn't want to come to church. What for? The greatest example is love. Jesus says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. It is by the love we have for one another. We just sang it. We just prayed it, that we would love one another as He has loved us. How has He loved us? He loved us when we denied Him. He loved us when we neglected Him. He loved us even though we've done Him wrong. He loved us even though we promised time after time and time again and vowed to do something for the kingdom of God and have always failed in following through with that promise. He still loves us. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have for one another. We taught it the other day. Make room for each other's faults. You're not perfect.
I'm not perfect. But it's amazing how in the Christian walk, so many of us as Christians are very quick to condemn others. Because their faults and their sin is obvious. A hidden sin is just as bad as an exposed one. Are y'all with me, somebody? So I knew early on it would entail suffering. In fact, my uncle's advice on the first men's meeting I ever held, I remember my uncle walking in. He's passed now. But here's what he said to me. There will be those who believe the ministry God has called you to will fail as soon as they leave. And those closest to you will often bring the most hurt. And then when he told me that, I was like, geez, everybody loves me. These are my friends. These are people that I sit down and eat with. These are people that I've ministered to when they were going to commit suicide at 3 a.m. and called me. I got out of bed and ministered to this person and walked him through. And yet it was that same person who slandered me. People, I'm not here to make you sympathize for me. You've probably gone through the same thing. I'm just trying to get us to understand that this Christian walk, in order to fulfill the will of God, will entail suffering. Have you learned that yet?
Amen.
You can do a million things right. And they love you. Do one thing wrong. In fact, I'll say this boldly. That's why some people aren't here today. Because I didn't do one thing they wanted me to. And they're gone. What does that say about our friendship? What does that say about your love for me? And my love for you? That one little incident can tear us apart. Obviously, it wasn't love. Because love endures all things. Are y'all with me? A.W. Tozer said, in the church of God, two opposite dangers are to be recognized and avoided. Are you ready? Here's what you need to avoid. Two dangers that need to be avoided and recognized. A cold heart and a hot head. Amen. How many other people have cold hearts?
Amen.
Have you ever looked at somebody and done something and they've done something and you're like, how in the world could they have done that? It's a cold heart. Hot head. What do you want from this church? Ask yourself. We're a small place. We're next to a bar. Some might look at that as, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I look at it as an opportunity to reach out to people who need the gospel more than anything.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? What do you want from church? What do you want from this church? And if this church, and what would this church be like if every member was like you? Ask yourself. We might have needs, but what are you doing to fulfill the need that's here? Remember, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And yes, as a body, we are to meet the needs of the people. But my question is, what kind of church do you want? I want an exciting church. Amen. I want people to walk in here. I want there to be music. I want us already to have the atmosphere set where people walk in here and they say, my goodness, these people are in love with Jesus Christ. Not a perfect people, but a people with a passion and a zeal and an enthusiasm for the things of God. That's what I want. Is that what you want? I asked my daughter the other day, I asked her Thursday evening, what do you want from church? And I liked her answer. Her answer was, Dad, I want the Word. That's the church. Paul writing to Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where you need to come, and I need to be ready to deliver a message of truth to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are y'all with me? Paul is not saying that the church is a source of the creator of truth. He is saying that the church is what holds up and holds firm the truth in the world. That is what sets free. That is what changes a man. It is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told you last week, we don't need more gun laws. What do we need? We need the truth to come in and change the hearts and the lives of the people.
Amen.
You can take all the guns away and a wicked man will still find a way to be wicked.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all with me, somebody? Remember John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and the truth shall set you what?
Free.
Say it again.
Free.
Say it one more time.
Free.
How many of you want to be free? Amen. Say it again. I want to be free.
I want to be free.
And it's the truth of the gospel.
gospel that's going to set you free. More than ever, that's what this world needs. It's truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Truth. People don't want truth. Romans 3:18, the Apostle Paul says, there is no fear of God in their eyes. That's what this world lives like now. We've taken the message of Christ and the gospel and grace and have made it so sloppy that there is now no longer any fear of God in the eyes of the people. That's why people just do what they want to do. No consequence. I'll shoot up 17 people. Oh well, have pity on me. 17 people are arranging funerals. Give me my breakfast. I want pancakes. No fear of God in their eyes. Because they don't know. Because we as Christians are not taking the message. It's our responsibility. God has set us here. And it's time we go out and reach this community. It's time you, in your own world, begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or are you afraid to let people know you're even a Christian? It's time. I want changed lives. I want to fulfill what God has called me to. I want to see people come in here one way and leave changed and transformed by the truth of God's Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look around, not here, but in your world. What do you see? What do you see in the world? Look around. And are you moved with compassion? Are you moved with compassion? Or are we quick to condemn? If you're not moved with compassion, I would question whether our Christianity is even real. In Matthew 9:36-38, in the New Living Translation, speaking of Jesus, Matthew 9:36, in the New Living Translation, and listen to this, and it says, I said, man, we're not a perfect church. We're not filled with perfect people, and my goodness, this may come as a surprise to you, but I'm not a perfect pastor. It does not exist. I could put a show on for you. And I can make you or try to make you assume that my life is just so perfect. That's not what I want. I want transparency.
Amen.
I want you to help me just like I help you. I want you to pick me up if I fall just like I would pick you up. I want you to encourage me just like I encourage you.
Amen.
And Jesus says here, listen, when he saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion on them. Do you have that? Are you moved when you see someone in sin? Are you moved with compassion or are you moved with condemnation? One thing I never forget is where I was when God found me. Man, I used to spit on the Word of God. I used to tell my dad, I don't need your God, Dad. I don't care about your God. And I used to blame every bad thing in my life on God. And yet the very God I condemned and didn't want to have anything to do with was the very God that stretched forth His hand and saved my life. And saved yours as well. The Bible says He was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were confused and helpless. That's what I see in this world. Confusion. I was watching a show the other day and there was a man teaching a woman how to be a woman. That's confusion. When a man can be a better woman than a woman, that's confusion.
Amen.
I'm sorry, it's confusion. And we need to have compassion on that. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Compassion. Because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, listen, the harvest is great. You know what that means? That means this world, this neighborhood, it's filled with people who are confused and helpless. They don't know where to turn. And you know what else? They don't even know we're here. And I blame this on me. And like I said, I'm not making excuses from the past. But it's time that we reach out. I get so excited thinking about the families that are going to come through, the man that's going to come through, the girl that's going to come through, that can stand here one day and testify, you know what, I was so helpless and confused. But someone had compassion on me. And they didn't condemn me for my faults and failures. They didn't condemn me for my sin, but rather they had compassion and helped me get up on my feet. And introduced me to a God who loved me regardless of who I was or my past. And introduced me to a Savior who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what excites me.
Does that excite you? Do you want to see that? It's up to us. I know you may sit here and say, Pastor Philip, it's up to you. No, it's up to us. It's not my obligation only and alone. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are what? Few. I belong to a church of 1,500. 1,500. Larry, you were part of that church. The same 25 people did all the work. What does that say about the other 1,475? The workers are few. We all want, but are unwilling to do what is necessary to obtain our wants.
Amen.
Because we don't want to work. And work doesn't mean you have to be here Saturday morning and pass out a flyer. I can do that myself. Work means at your job. Or do they even know we're Christians? Amen.
Amen.
Work means be salt. Be light. Be a light shining in the midst of a dark and perverted generation.
Amen.
That's work. I'm going to love. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be merciful. And people see that. And then they're drawn to you. And they say, I don't go to church. I've never been to church. And you invite them. And then by the time you know it, you got people set on fire for God because of your introduction to Jesus Christ to them. Are y'all with me? The workers are few. Listen, so what do? Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. That's Jesus. And ask Him to send workers into His field. My prayer is that we go into His field. People, I don't believe, I loved it the other day in Lewis and Celestine, we were talking and I had two guys from a Baptist church come up. Man, and I had a great conversation with them. But they were really like, because you know me, I had the scripture down and they're just like, wow, what church? I didn't tell them I was a pastor. I said, I go to New Life Church. They're like, wow. They're like, but what do you think about works? Because most people think I said, man, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, not of works, lest any mission. They were like, okay. Then we looked at the back of the card they gave me. They came all the way from where?
Jacksboro.
Yeah. But you know what? They're doing the work. We ain't even going down the street. And it's been cold and rainy and people have been sick. But what I'm saying is you can invite not church people, but people who are lost and helpless and confused. Do any of you know people who are lost, helpless and confused? How many of you were lost, helpless and confused at one time?
Amen.
Some of us still are. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers into His field. Last week I spoke on recognizing what God has done in your life. And that's my prayer. Recognize. Amen. Recognize. Recognize, 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 recognize how good God is to you. Got a special guest, not really. It's hot. Are y'all with me? Say recognize.
Recognize.
Recognize. This is my prayer. That you would recognize how good God has been to you. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I told you the other day, I mean, I am happy. If I die today, know this. Philip was happy. I have joy. That money can't buy. That no amount of materialistic wealth could ever give me. I am filled with joy. And I am glad. And I'm happy. No, not everything in my life is as I wish it were. Or would be. But I am happy. I am happy for the life that I live. I'm happy that I'm 49 years old. I have friends that lived to 16. One of my best friends died at 16 in a motorcycle accident. And I'm happy that I've got to be a father. I'm happy that I've got to be a husband. I'm happy that I got a job and I have friends like you. And I'm happy that I get to teach the few people that are here. I'm happy. I'm content. And you know why? Because I recognize the goodness of God.
Amen.
I recognize
I don't take it for granted. I don't take today for granted. That's my prayer, that you would recognize and that you would be set on fire from above and go tell others about the grace, mercy, compassion that God Himself has bestowed upon you. That's my prayer. That you leave here today recognizing just how good God is. Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize how good God has been to you? I'm not asking if your life is perfect or if there's not anything going on. But do you recognize, even with what is going on, that God is greater than even that? Do you recognize that? That's how this church is filled. And I said, it's not my responsibility alone to fill this place and to do all the things that we can now do in this place. It is our responsibility. You all have gifts. You all have talents. Every one of you. God placed you here. I'm not saying He won't ever take you out, but I'm saying for the moment, you're here. And what are you doing with being here? There's a saying that says, grow where you're planted. Well, I don't like where I'm planted. Too bad. It's where God planted you. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
It's not about just receiving. It's about giving back. Are y'all with me? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. New Living Translation. I want you to recognize when you leave here today how good God is to us. I want you to leave here and begin to tell people about this God. That I'm not asking, let's lift our church. I don't care about the name of this church. We got access now. We can put a sign up. We can do what we need to do. But I'm not even worried about that. What I want is for you to lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What I want is for God to be magnified in your life. And then when that happens, you don't have to invite anybody. They'll come to you. Just like they did to Paul and Silas in Acts 16. When they were in prison and they began to sing in the midnight hour. The grounds of the prison were shaken and they were set free. They didn't go out and tell anybody anything. The guards came to them and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And so with that said, listen to this. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there? Have you ever been encouraged by Christ, His Word? By His Spirit? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Have you ever been comforted by God? Amen. In your darkest hour, this peace suddenly comes over you. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that you can't even explain. But you know that comfort comes from the Comforter. And that is Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Truth, God the Father. So my question is, Paul, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Listen to this. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Amen. Do you ever feel fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Does He ever make you very aware that He's with you? When you're afraid, does He come through and you suddenly remember that God is with you?
Amen.
When you get a bad report, do you suddenly remember, hey, hold on, God is with me? When the best friend's not there to pick up the phone, do you remember, hold on a second, God's with me?
Amen.
And then listen to what Paul writes. So all these answers are yes. And then Paul comes back with a question. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Because we're quick to say yes to how He is to us. But how quick are we to say yes to our hearts being tender and compassionate to others? He says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. What's that purpose? To fulfill the will of God. We may have a lot of disagreements on a lot of different things. But we need to learn how to love one another, how to work together, and how to be with one mind, one purpose. Listen to verse 8, I believe it is. Don't be selfish. What is it? I'm sorry, my eyes are bad. Don't be selfish. Say that loud. Don't be selfish.
Don't be selfish.
That's a hard thing to grasp. Don't be selfish. God's been compassionate to you. God has loved you when you couldn't even love yourself. Don't be selfish with the love God has bestowed upon you and infused you with. Don't be selfish with the grace God has given you, the mercy, the talents, the gifts, even the finances. Yes, your finances. Don't be selfish. It's required. God is saying, Paul is saying, listen, if God is all these things to you, then learn to be what God is to you, to those around you. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind, one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. And he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. The Word of God is saying you must have the same attitude. Are you willing to give up some of your privileges? I've sat at a table where they've made me an offer. Offers to come pastor somewhere else. A lot of money. And I've immediately said no. Because as I said earlier, one thing I've learned is I want to fulfill God's will. I don't want the easy way out. And that's one thing Lewis said to me the other day. One of the things, and I'm not trying to boast in myself, just want you to understand, sometimes fulfilling the will of God means you have to give up something. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
It's not always about taking the easy way. You can. And God Himself won't stop you. And I'm not even talking about ministry here, people. I'm talking about even in your workplace. Even in your relationship, some people just bail. No, sometimes you got to work through it. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Sometimes you got to give up something. Christ was obedient even unto death. Listen, he did not come to do his own thing, but to fulfill the will of his Father, even if it meant was to suffer. There was a man named Ananias who was called to seek out Paul and lay hands on Paul that he might see again. Ananias was fearful. I mean, y'all know the story in Acts 9. Remember the Apostle Paul. We talked about this last week. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He couldn't see. Ananias had a vision of the Lord telling him to go and lay hands on the Apostle Paul so that Paul would see again. And in Acts 9:15 and 16 in the King James Version, listen to this, almost done. Are y'all with me? Acts 9:15 and 16, King James Version. Ananias, again, this is the Lord speaking to Ananias. Listen to what he reads, what the scriptures read here. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Listen, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Are y'all with me? God is saying he's going to suffer. It's amazing. When we're in the world, we go through hell and don't think twice. But when we become a Christian, we expect everything just to be rose petals and sunshine. And it's not that. It's not that. Even roses have thorns, my wife says. Every rose has its thorn. Right? Are y'all getting this? Paul is saying, listen, the Lord was saying to Paul, and God gave me the scripture long ago. And it's funny because when I first began this walk, I thought, how can I suffer, man? Everybody's so good and loving and fair and nobody lies to each other and no one's underhanded. It didn't take long to figure out I was wrong. Not just in my life, in your lives too. Maybe even ourselves have been that way to others. You ask, Pastor, are you telling me I have to suffer? No. My question to you is this. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to? So that God's will in your life be fulfilled. 2 Timothy, my last chunk of scripture and we'll close. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 7 in the New Living Translation. Are y'all with me? The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy, a young preacher now. And the Apostle Paul says to him, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, I'm saying this in front of the judge. I'm not lying to you, Peter. Listen to me. Timothy. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to you to set up His kingdom. Preach the Word of God. Amen. Preach the Word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with what? Good teaching. I promise you'll always get that here. Because that's what will change your life. Amen. That's what will build godly character. Not just teaching it, but you receiving it and being a doer of it. Not just a hearer. But he says, for a time is coming when people will no longer just listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itchy ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Here's my word to you from the Lord Himself. Y'all ready? And I'll close with this. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling the others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fully carry out the ministry God has given you. And I've told you, every one of you have a ministry and a mission. The mission is what you do outside of here. Your ministry is what you do in here. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. A few questions pertaining to this chunk of scripture I just read. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? Are you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? Will you carry out the ministry God has given you? Are you willing to be poured out as an offering to God? Will you fight the good fight? Will you finish the race? And will you remain faithful? Is your place a small place? Tend it with care. He set you there. Is your place a large place? Guard it with care. He set you there. Whatever your place is, it's not yours alone, but His who set you there. It's time. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's time we get serious. It's time we reach out and share the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, because I was getting hot. It's time. Pastor Philip's not mad. I love you guys dearly. And I thank you guys. I know where God is taking us. The proof of how He moves and operates in our little lives is so evident that He has such great plans for us. Not talking only in ministry. I'm talking about in our lives. God is good. And He loves you. He has great plans for you. You're never alone. And the God of the Bible is still the same God He's always been. He's still a healer. He's still the way maker. He's still a God of restoration. He's still a God who opens doors, who comforts, who heals, who strengthens, who loves, who is gracious, who is merciful. He never changes. And He sent His Son to suffer. He is our example. Again, I'm not saying your life, because there's some people who take this to extreme and give up everything and try to make themselves suffer. No. I'm not even saying you will suffer. I'm only asking, if are you willing to suffer? Because that's what it's going to take. I love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace. May you this week experience breakthrough in whatever area of your life you need. Father God, that you would come forth and show yourself mighty. Your word tells us, 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes, your eyes, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You're searching. You're searching for that heart who is perfected. Not a perfect life, but a new life. A life filled with hope, compassion, and trust. And then your word says that you may show yourself mighty in and through that life. Father, we make ourselves available. We position ourselves. Father, you know what's going on in every one of our lives. And we ask, Father, that you would look upon us. Here I am, Lord. As Isaiah said, show yourself mighty in my life. Do whatever's necessary in our lives that the world around us would recognize that we serve a mighty God. A God to whom with nothing is impossible. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone say amen. Amen. Amen.